I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today.
When I need to feel powerful, I unmatch bitches on Tinder.
I was thrilled to be accepted the role of flower girl at an October wedding, and now I have to share it with a goddamn baby. Guys!
Hello!
It's Andy's Girls.
Guys, it's episode 20. That's
Can you believe it?
That's like a baker's dozen, give a few.
Oh my god, 100%. It's like crazy. It's a full season. That is bananas to me.
So,
in the best possible way. Good, bananas. A banana split.
We're here from the Housewives headquarters to talk about all things Housewives this week, especially Real Housewives of New York season finale. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ.
So I have a question. So it was bonus size. So there was an extra 15 minutes. Do you think it was because it was so insane, which it was, or do you think it was because they were hoping to get to, like, an extra episode plus the finale and they didn't have enough material?
You mean,
like, you know how, like, the Dallas reunion was one episode, but Supersize was an extra 15 minutes. And I always thought the reason that they did it as like an extra 15 was because they didn't have enough material for part one, part two. Mm. Do you think it was Supersize because it was so fucking insane? Which it was.
I mean, I think that they felt like they needed to get that final party in. And so maybe they just had too much footage from that party, but they wanted to complete the story of like the finale party.
That party was so... That... New York was, like, so much. There was... It was a lot.
It was... I'm going to say one thing I really liked about New York, and I would have to think about, like, the Housewives as a whole and a genre and what has existed in the past as far as, like, episodes that really exist within one moment. Yeah. But there's been a lot of episodes like that on New York this season, like the Berkshires...
Oh, my God. Berkshires were so good.
And this whole Miami trip where, like, it was, like, a really isolated incident... We're also the dinner at Lady Gaga's restaurant. It's like these episodes that are like 30 minutes of in one location. I'm really into because it feels like you're watching a play in some way.
It really does. It's like extra dramatic and theatrical.
Let's just dive into New York. Where were you? You know, we've talked a lot about
New York is so uncomfortable with it. I almost fell over.
This is a full circle moment for you, I would think, because. We started this season, you are Bethany's number, I'd say, like, number two fan, and...
Excuse me, who's her number one fan? Bethany?
Yeah, she's her own number one fan. But I think that, you know, I know you've been having an interesting relationship, so how do you feel about the way she delivered the news to Luann? How do you feel about her season in general now that we've seen it up to the reunion? Like, we're not at the reunion yet, but we've seen it everything up till.
So here's the thing. So I watched the finale live as it was happening. Watch What Happens Live. And I had a lot of feelings. And I was, like, writing down my feelings, blah, blah, blah. Then I started texting with a friend while watching the finale, and she had a very different reaction to Bethany's behavior than I did. Like, I initially was sort of pissed about the way that Bethany was communicating to Lou, and the fact that all the women were, like, going into Bethany's room to make sure she was okay with delivering the news instead of, you know, going to Luann and seeing how she was doing. Because, of course, Luann realized that all of the other women knew or found out, you know, a couple minutes later. And then I rewatched the episode with sort of a clean slate, even though it was, like, 12 hours later. I was like, let me just rewatch this one more time. And I watched that scene of Dorinda saying that Tom and Luann were essentially trying to steamroll blackmail her into rewriting the script of Tom cheating on Lou. And for some reason, the first time I watched the episode, I don't know if I wasn't giving it 100% or I was, like, too wound up with, like, emotions about watching it or whatever, but I missed the part where Dorinda had said that Luann was with Tom and then handed the phone over to Tom. And then it was Tom that was like, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to show up with some waiters from the Regency. We're going to sit down. We're going to figure out the new game plan. And you're going to do this. Otherwise, you're no longer going to be a friend of Luann's. And I'm just imagining Luann sitting next to Tom, hearing a man that you know because you have photographic evidence cheated on you the night before your engagement party, a week after or however long after getting engaged, after only having stripped each other for a couple months or whatever, with all signs pointing to him being a douchebag, and you're listening to him threaten your girlfriend, who has nothing to do with him fucking up, that's all his bad, and trying to kind of rewrite the script, and the fact that they did that together, then I lost a lot of animosity that I had for Bethany, because when I was thinking, like, why is she telling Lou about the time script over and over and over again while she's on the phone with Tom, I thought that was, like, a little much, of, like, it was, like, 10:45
Why does that behavior between Tom and Luann negate how Bethany's approached for you?
Because I felt like it was showing a level of Luann's duplicitousness that I haven't really seen this season, where I have said repeatedly that she's coming off as desperate, she so wants to be in love, she wants to be married, she wants to, like, be settled and have the ring and blah blah blah, and that was overriding her maybe being fake or false. And then Dorinda's giving this huge window into the fact that, yeah, Lou is actually being sort of a twat. I mean, like, Lou is backing and supporting this man that she's known for an hour and a half, for less time than she's known Dorinda, saying and behaving in a way to her friend that's really shitty. And then I'm thinking about, maybe that's why Bethany felt like she had to have, like, the cards stacked. Like, she needed to have a stack deck of proof to tell Luann, like, yeah, I had a source. It wasn't a fake ex-girlfriend. I also talked to the bartenders. I also have all of these photos.
It was too much.
It wasn't too much, though, because you can't absolve yourself of that scene of Luann and Tom conspiring to produce the finale in a way that would absolve him of guilt. That is super shitty and
that
shady
has,
but
to that, me. That has zero things to do with the way Bethany approached.
I think it's ultra connected because it opens a window into Luann's soul in a way that makes me understand Bethany's hatred for her this season. It doesn't absolve Bethany of slut-shaming her at all, but to me it says, like, yeah, Luann is not super innocent in this. It's not just like she's like a sad, depressing, like 50-something. It's, no, there's some shit
going
on here.
Let's rewind,
the
though. Luann and Tom's behavior towards Dorinda, which I thought was totally fucked up and so super...
Super fucked up, right?
Well, yeah, but also so is Bethany calling people and having timestamps and being like, I didn't want to tell you this. I didn't want to tell you this, but I have this, and it's a timestamp, and I have a picture, and I have another picture, and Luann's like, well, maybe it didn't happen on Wednesday, and Bethany's like, it definitely happened on Wednesday. It's like, you're a fucking cunt, Bethany, because you're acting like you don't want to do this. You are doing it, and... Yeah, absolutely.
And I have issues with Bethany not telling. If Bethany had to, here's my thing. We were just talking about Miami, guys, because I like am desperate to go to Miami. I think I might go in like a week and a half and like have some Zika and a cocktail. But my thing is like, why say it on the trip? Why not just wait until you get back?
Which is exactly what Dorinda called her out with Bethany out.
Which I agree with. I'm not saying that Bethany. But I watched the episode live and was like, what the fuck is Bethany doing?
I don't think that Tom and Luann's reaction to his cheating coming out on a television show negates Bethany's approach. Like, of course, like Luann is reacting in a way like she's being defensive, and that's not the way I think that maybe Bethany thought she was going to react, but like the reaction to Bethany's shitty behavior doesn't excuse Bethany's shitty behavior.
I agree with you that she did some stuff that was like a little overboard and she was going CSI, and I felt for a part of it
and
I was
it
like,
wasn't her relationship it
was, that's exactly what I wrote down. I literally wrote down on my little iPhone after the little screensaver of my puppy, you don't, that's not your job. You're not in this relationship. Like, cause I do feel it. But then I started thinking when I was thinking about Lou and Tom acting like complete and total douchebags. And I was like, well, maybe that's why she felt that if she had to say something that she wanted to make sure she had proof so that they couldn't spin it. Because as we saw in that scene, they immediately wanted to spin the cheating. That Luann was so focused on, I'm not going to let a kid ruin my marriage.
That's insane.
That's their, I know, it is insane, and that's their, oh wait, my opinion is insane, or their behavior? Their behavior was insane.
Well, Luann and Tom's behavior is absolutely insane. The fact that Bethany felt like she had to have so much stacked against them to prove her point to be right in someone else's relationship is also insane.
I 100% believe,
this is someone who's
not
shown
any,
she hasn't shown anything about her life the entire season.
The fact that she started crying, I was like, this is fucked up. The fact that she got mad at Luann for, like, shooting the messenger when she got mad at Luann for shooting the messenger when they weren't friends to begin with, and there was a whole Berkshire stitch where Bethany was screaming at her, calling her a whore. The fact that Bethany brought that up again as another reason why Luann would stay with Tom because she's just a whore and doesn't care is shitty. Like, Bethany has behaved in a really shitty way. I do not know how I will be able to move forward with my imaginary best friendship with Bethany after this season. I really don't know. I thought that last season was a fever dream. I thought she was going to come back. As I said, the bee is back. She behaved in a great way starting up, and then she just burst into flames. And I think a lot of this shit with Luann brings up stuff from her divorce. None of it is excusable. I think that she is a broken person. I think that Bethany at heart is a broken person and does
like
not know to
people,
have...
Like, a lot of these people are broken people.
I know, but she's on TV, so we're talking about... I mean,
no, but
like,
I mean, a lot of these people on these shows are broken, so, like, I don't know why...
She's overly broken. She's broken in a way where she's so focused on people agreeing with her and her being right that she throws out common sense and common decency out the window and then will never apologize for it. Bethany is not an apologizer. She really isn't. She will go to her grave believing the schlock that she's giving us, and it's hurtful for the Bethany fans. I mean, cheers, we're drinking Skinny Girl from my fridge because I didn't want to buy a new flavor. I mean, like, she has a support system of loyal people who are now saying, like, who is this person that we blindly followed for so long? Because this is either a broken Bethany after all that money and fame and a shitty divorce and whatever, or this is the true Bethany as she has always been. And that's a struggle for a lot of people. And the issue that came out with all this cheating bullshit is, like, that's crazy how that happened. That's crazy that he was cheating the night before for over an hour. Like, I do consider, like, heavy petting cheating, like, snogging some girl at an upscale bar. Like, that's 100% cheating to me. But
I don't think Luann thinks it's cheating.
I think Luann knows it's fucked up, but Luann doesn't care.
Well, yeah, she, was, of course, was clearly upset, but not upset enough to really give a shit, and like,
and her story was changing a million times. First it was like they were at the Regency together, then it was that they had a fight.
Grasping at straws to try to like find a way out of it being
right. He cheated on her. He's a shitty guy. He's disgusting. I think he's a disgusting human being, and maybe they're just meant to be together, because if Luann wants to put up with this, I don't understand it. I mean, I get that they want to plan the wedding and she wants to have that fairy tale ending, but nobody attending that wedding, having seen this episode, which everyone in those seats will have fucking seen, probably half the people there are in some way related to the production. Nobody thinking, going to that wedding, is thinking this is a happily ever after. Everybody is thinking this is a really crazy
thing. Unless there are two people who just want to be able to do whatever they want, but have the companionship and like...
But then you can't call it a forever love, which is what Luann has been saying. They can, but it's false.
Why? Why? Because it's an open relationship?
Luann has specifically said it's not an open relationship. She got offended at someone asking if it was. You can't have it both ways. If she wants to be private about it, then fine. But then don't try to bully
one of your... Maybe she was trying to be private about it and didn't want to say on the record that it was an open relationship. And then
right, this person that she's not... Right, then don't bully Dorinda about it. Then you have to come clean. That's your own shit. That's not a friend of yours who's also your co-star. You can't have it both ways. If she wants to have a private relationship, she shouldn't have made a big fucking deal about it on the show.
What do you mean about... What about Dorinda?
If she wanted to have an open relationship, then you can't try to bully a friend into, like, pretending that it was, like, this great long love story and that there was just some, like... random moment where he was... I was so annoyed with her excuses where she was like, and this woman was just like so ready to take advantage of the situation. I thought it was really fucked up.
I just feel like... and I suppose this happens on every franchise, but every season... I've said this before about Beverly Hills, and I actually, like, I took the idea from a friend, but, like, that Beverly Hills was always, like, one season is about one woman's downfall, and it really has maintained that it's, like, it's...
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's, like,
yeah.
Kim, or it's Taylor, Kim, Yolanda,
right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it feels like I'm noticing that a lot more in other franchises, or specifically New York and Beverly Hills. I'm trying to think, I can't think if the other ones exist like that, too, where, like, all of the story is around one or two women, and everybody else is just pushing that story. So, like, Munchausen was the story on Beverly Hills.
Yeah, they would have been fucked
I mean,
about
it. It was all about Yolanda's Munchausen. Yeah. And then it became, like, the story of, like, Lisa Vanderpump creating that story, but then denying it. And then, like, Andy being mad because they were talking about production.
Yeah,
but, like,
Shannon Bedore on OC.
Yeah. Yeah, but Shannon Bedore's fall, like, you know, and now it's, like, Vicky slash, like, Kelly and both of them, like,
yeah,
being sort of ostracized from the group and whatever. And it feels like... New York really has, it went from being all about Dorinda and her relationship to being about, like, Jules and her illness.
Sort of.
It was
not
like,
really.
It was sort of like her introduction
to
the
show.
Yeah,
it was like a B-plot. Yeah.
And then it went to being Luann. And, like, that is what is frustrating to me. It's like, listen, the whole scene between, about, with Dorinda talking to Ramona and being honest. I think it was it Ramona? About,
yeah, I think it was Ramona. I was trying to think
of
it.
Or Sonya,
yeah.
I can't remember. But it was, like, no, she was being honest about what Luann obviously said to her off the record. And I felt like... that was shitty and weird because she's trying, like, Luann's mad that it is what it is, and she's now trying to get herself out of it and, like, figure out how to make it look as best as it can on television. However, I also feel frustrated that, like, Bethany and, like, to a lesser extent, Ramona and Carol are, like, pushing all of this stuff and, like, really making it their story. But, like, it has nothing to do with them, and they haven't shown a lot, which is frustrating. Like, that's what I find frustrating is, like, if, like, Bethany was like, I can tell you're the kind of girl who's gonna, like, deal with that. And Luann was like, yeah, so stay out of my relationship. And I wanted to just be like, kind of. Like, you didn't tell her that as a friend. You told her that because someone allegedly said that to you and you couldn't keep it in your, and you told her, and she didn't want to hear it. So now she's gonna ignore you. And now you're, like, mad that she didn't have the reaction that you wanted. And it's like, if she wants to be in that relationship and that's what it works for her, she's happy. Whatever. She's not happy, but, like, sure, but, like, you're not showing anything. So, like, it's very frustrating to me to watch this because it's been 20 episodes of this, of Bethany telling Dorinda about her boyfriend, and then Bethany telling Sonya about her business, and then Bethany telling Jules, like, she can't be around her because her illness makes her think of her mother, and then Bethany telling Luann that her relationship is, like, fucked, and Luann's like, okay, but I'm gonna stay in it, and she's like, well, that's fucked up, but I guess I should have known, like... And it's like, well, this is What about you?
I agree with you. I don't disagree with you. It's been very upsetting. It's been very frustrating for me. And some of it, we have to say, just to stipulate, or add the disclaimer, rather, that a lot of it's because she cannot talk about her child
on
TV.
She can talk about the guy that she's dating.
She can talk about the guy that she's dating, and that there were two different sweaty, bald meatballs that she has been with, one of whom, the current one, is some ex of, like, a high school friend. Then another one had, like, a rape allegation against him in the past. It's, like, super meatball-y guy. I mean, like, and that's who she was dating during a part of
the
filming,
and also rumored Eric Stone Street.
And Eric Stone Street, right. So, yeah, that she should talk about, and that's probably why she feels a kinship with Carol, because Carol is also super withholding in many areas.
It's just, like,
I get it. I agree.
I was on Luann's side all season. I was, like, annoyed at, like, that scene about when Dorinda revealed that. I was sort of like,
I think they're shitty people. I guess it's just so frustrating because it's like,
but like, Luann is shitty. They're all shitty people.
No, I know, but I feel, but I feel like maybe because we're seeing more of Lou, there's more of me to criticize. But there is also still the critique of B, because she's not revealing, what she is revealing of herself is that, like, she's become a really shitty person. Really think she has, and it's really upsetting to me because now it's like, the taste in my mouth, it's like, I don't know, my skinny girl has curdled. Like, I feel like she's, like, dead.
I lived for the moment that, in the sneak peek for this reunion, when Luann just said that Bethany's a horrible person.
Yeah, and then it cuts to Bethany crying, and I honestly was like, I can't even believe I'm saying this, but I watched the preview for the reunion a couple times, and that scene of her, like, crying at the end, the last shot.
Remember seeing that.
Yeah, the last shot is of Bethany, like, tear-streaked face, like, looking panicked, and I was like, yeah, that's fucking right. I am a Bethany super fan, but I'm like, you need to cry a little bit. Like, she needs to cry less is the issue. She needs to be more honest and more connected to whoever the fuck she is at
play
the end
ball
of the night.
Anymore, she thinks she's more famous than she's richer than
I don't want her to
them.
Take up time on my favorite franchise and pretend like she's the Bethany of yesteryear. I think it's really disrespectful to her loyal fans. And by loyal fans, I mean me, Sarah Galley.
I have a complicated relationship with Bethany because I think she's smart and I think that she's funny. I just find it to be like, I don't like when I don't never favor the person who's the favorite, because I always feel like there's that suspect to me, and the fact that, like, she now is like, I'm always right. Now it's like, I'm always right about everybody else's relationships and I'm not showing anything, is like, you can't do that anymore, especially because you're not low man on the totem pole. So, like, it's not charming. Like, Luann is the lead of this show now because she's low man on the totem pole, because she's lost everything. Yeah. And she's been on the show since season one. And so people are invested in, like, her happiness. Like, I don't know if she's really fucking in love with this guy, or if it's real love, or if it's lasting love.
It's not.
But I believe, well, I don't know. You say that, but, like, I don't
know
if she's going to marry him.
I know, and that's
but, like,
a big fucking...
And that's so,
I don't know. It actually makes me, I know it all.
It makes me want to react like Kelly Dodd to you. And I mean, like, I love you as a person in real life, but, like, it makes me want to react because, like, that's so frustrating because, like, you don't know her in her life. Like,
I really do, though.
You don't. And, like, Bethany didn't keep her relationship on TV, and so at the reunion, Luann brings up that her current boyfriend is still married to someone who Bethany was friends with in high school. If Bethany was on the show and showed her real life, how that would have gotten played, and she didn't want that to get played
of
like
course.
That. And that's what's infuriating. And I would have loved to have that conversation with you and see you say, like, well, he's been separated from her for 3 months,
and
Bethany hasn't been friends with her in 15 years.
Yeah,
and it's like, 100%. Because people would have defended her, and I'm never a fan of someone who gets off scot-free because she's not being held accountable for her behavior, and I'm going to be really pissed, and I would love for our listeners, like the five of them, to comment, like, I really want Andy Cohen to hold her and Carol, because I think Carol's a fucking spineless person who goes along with the flow. I want him to hold them accountable for really manipulating production. The way the show ended, I loved the codas and the way they showed all the women, like, in their photos. But, like, why was Bethany the last photo we saw? It was clearly the way the production should have played it was. It should have been that group shot when it focused in on Luann and it said Luann is still engaged and they're planning their wedding. And it's a question of, and then it was like the next shot was like Bethany by herself being like, and Bethany isn't bleeding anymore financially or elsewise. And I was like, It's not her show.
I know, but you're getting really upset. But you're talking to one of Bethany's superfans who is saying she's become a real piece of shit. So you can't get away with saying it's because the focus isn't on her being a shithead, because people are coming around to that.
I mean, I hope so, but I still think that, like, she is in favor with, like, producers, at least this season she was, because they let her do what she did. And I want to see how they play her at the reunion, because it is unfair to me if she can walk away, like, and be like, and I will repeat this till the day I die, that, like, Lisa Vanderpump got off scot-free at that fucking reunion. It was ridiculous. Like, Lisa Vanderpump did whatever she did off camera, and because it was off camera, and no matter the fact that seven other people were talking about it, it was like, Lisa, do you have anything to say? And she was like, no. And it was like, all right, here's a toast. And it's
can
like,
can I say what I think a better example would be, which is Teresa, Judice in Jersey? Because tree huggers, I think your fear is that Bethany fans are like tree huggers. Tree huggers are uniformly very blind and upset by any criticism.
But they're not
their
smart people, so I don't care.
I think that if you were at the beginning of this season a Bethany super fan and you have not seen that there is a huge discrepancy in the Bethany of now versus the Bethany of then there is a real issue with your cognitive
but it's
skills.
Less to me it's less about like to me it's less about like her fans, like I don't care, it's like
it's about her role in production,
it's her, it's about her, like if she comes back for another season, like do they think that we want to see what we just saw? Do they think that we love Bethany that much that we... Because, like, it's like NeNe, and I think that they let her do whatever she wants, too. They let a certain... The women who read to learn certain... And I actually didn't mind NeNe coming back as a friend of, because she was totally... It was, like, it was dumb and it was pointless because she didn't add anything, but she was funny and she had good one-liners and she wasn't involved in the drama. But, like, NeNe's last season as a Real Housewife...
It was not good.
It wasn't good because she didn't want to play ball. And, like, I know that that's hard because you're famous. And, like, if she comes back this season, they're going to talk about the fact
Damien.
That she owes...
I'm agreeing with
I'm not,
you.
I'm just like, I'm not yelling. This isn't me like arguing with you. It's just like, I'm nervous about the reunion because I feel like it's going to be a shit show on Luann and it's going to be people saying this isn't real love to her. And I just feel like, well, then like somebody else talk about something on, because at least she came in and she wore her heart on her sleeve
right,
and said
but they
it was.
Can't, I mean, she can't, I mean, I guess she does come back according to you and say, well, you were dating whoever who was an ex of whoever.
I mean, that was in the sneak peek. I was like a real quick, she just said, like, okay. She's like, she said, your boyfriend's married. And Bethany was like, he's not, say it again. And Luann's like, I will. He's married to your high school friend and you were married.
How did I miss that?
It was in the thing after the episode. It was like, it was really quick. Oh. But the way it was kind of, basically like Luann's like, you both were married when you guys got together. And Bethany's like, no, say it again. And Luann's like, okay, he was married and you were married.
It makes me kind of panic a little bit just because I feel like a woman without an island. Like, I don't know who I'm aligning myself with. I can't align with Lou. I honestly, that Dorinda scene, like, broke me up. That shit was dumb as fuck. Like, that was, like, not good. And you know that Lou never thought that was going to be seen on air. You know 100% that they were calling
her
just to try to take back the script, and they couldn't fucking do it.
What I thought was really interesting is, like, okay, so I don't want to, like, you know, like, hypothetical what Tom is, because we don't know him and we haven't seen him.
No, but let's do it.
No, but, like, what is, like, how did Luann get away with not having any of the conversations with him on camera for the finale? Like, she came back and she was like, so Tom and I met and was very emotional. And then that whole scene with Dorinda obviously happened off camera, too, like, whatever, it was a phone call. But, like, none of that was caught on camera. And I think that's so interesting because, like, I feel like they did a good job of, like, running around production, because if production knew that was happening, they would have, like, ran with a camera. So, like, Luann did a good job of, like, making sure that, like, they weren't included, or I'm so glad I remember this because I didn't write it down. I think that because she wasn't a contracted housewife and because
she got away with it.
She was like, fuck you guys, you didn't
I'm not going
to
give you this filming.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to let you come
Well, then good for fucking her. I mean...
Right, which I think, like, kind of worked to her advantage because she's the star of the
show this
season.
She could then rewrite how she wanted, right.
And she was able to, but be like, yes, I agree. I mean, seeing that scene with Dorinda was like, you know, like, I'm not, like, totally sold that like, Luann and Tom are going to be married for 50 years and then it's
Neither
it.
Neither is
but,
Luann.
But, like, I want to be on her side in this, and then hearing that, I was like, I mean, Lou, you know, like, maybe
Can
she thought
you
that
imagine wanting to marry someone who thinks it's okay to say, if you don't do what I want you to do, not only are you not coming to the wedding, he said this to Dorinda in front of Lou, not only are you not coming to the wedding, but you will not be allowed to be friends with my fiance any longer. Can you imagine being in that position where this is the guy that you were hyping to people, that he was the one, this is the woman that you're talking to who set the two of you two fuckheads up together. So she's the one, if you're so happily in love, that you should be thanking and not threatening. Can you imagine imagine being sitting next to him at the Regency or wherever the fuck, and allowing him to talk to your friend and colleague in that way. That's what drives me insane. I can't deal with disrespect. It drives me fucking insane. And I was so pissed rewatching that scene, because I was like, that is really shitty, inexcusable behavior that they were trying to do behind the scenes, not thinking that Dorinda would ever have the balls to say on camera.
I wish we could have seen Luann.
She never would have allowed it.
Like, I wanted to know. No, not even the scene.
Oh, maybe in the reunion.
I mean, I'm sure she'll comment on it.
Or on a, like, Watch What Happens Live.
I just want to know her version of that story and, like, what she will say happened.
I don't think there is a version, and I believe Dorinda.
Well, that's not true. Of course there's a version.
I'm sure there's a version, and they were probably high or drunk or whatever. Honestly, like, they go out, they party.
Also, someone who are they accusing of doing drugs in the reunion? I think they're accusing Bethany of being a cokehead, maybe.
No, Sonia and somebody else were accusing Dorinda. I think it was Bethany and Sonia were accusing Dorinda of being a cokehead, which was like, I couldn't believe someone was actually saying it. And I was like, oh shit, because, I mean, awkward pause. Maybe a little. Maybe in those earlier episodes with John, with the laundry man.
I don't know, man.
I just can't. Which skinny girl are you drinking? White peach margarita.
It's so gross. It's terrible. I also thought it was interesting, like, I really don't want to just spend this entire time, like, talking about how much I can't stand the new Bethany Frankel.
We don't have enough time in the universe.
But I thought it was interesting that she, like, went out of her way to make sure that, like, who would have thought this relationship about Adam and Carol, like...
Oh, I don't understand that.
She was
that.
Like, who would have thought this was the relationship that lasted? And she was, like, she went on this whole thing about Dorinda's with this, like, she had to go, like, take a jab at everybody's, like, right. boyfriend. And it was, like, she made her jab at Carol. I mean, I'm sorry, she made her jab at Tom. She made her jab at John. Sonia. And then who was the, who else has it?
Sonia, Ramona. Maybe Ramona. Oh, Ramona. She made
Ramona getting cheated on with a 22-year-old. And I was, like, I mean... I don't know, like, to me, that's, like, if she was talking to her assistant, and, like, to me, that was just her getting in good jokes for
yeah,
the
to
show.
Someone who gets paid to laugh.
Right, and and I was sort of like, I mean, girl, like, you're already gonna, like, not be on Luann's great side, and, like, who
but
knows.
Why not alienate everyone else?
So, like, yeah, so it's like, let's get a good jab in towards Ramona and also, like, Dorinda about John again after that. Like, you guys kind of got over that, I thought.
Also, speaking about disrespectful, who puts diamonds in a pinata?
It was so strange to
it
me.
It was so strange to me. I was... so offended.
I was into it because of the money factor.
Was like Sonia to get like the most expensive, and she got that like sad little tea necklace, but or wine necklace rather. But the fact that they film all of these poor assistants, and Bethany only has like interns. She has like interns and like two actual people that got paid. So I'm sure the interns get like $12 an hour or something. But the fact that they have this circle of people, all of whom could probably genuinely really appreciate some sort of fine jewelry, nice costume, diamond schmata, just right there circling around watching these very wealthy or seemingly wealthy TV stars bat in a pinata and then try to scrounge around and like get some sort of diamond. I thought that was so crazy. And the best part of it was Ramona looking at her prize and being like, no.
Can I say like, the one thing I did like one of my things I liked about this episode was that Bethany and Luann did have a moment where Bethany said, are you sure that he's like not a guy who's after you for your money? And Luann was like, no, because like he has his money. And she was like, but I've heard you've had more.
And Luann was like,
that might be true. And I was like, Bethany
Carol.
Was like, Bethany said something like, you know, like people see us and they think.
Right,
we are,
like Sonia, and that they're wealthy.
And she said that. And, like, yeah. And I didn't think that was shady. I thought it was true in that, like, Bethany makes a lot of money, but like Carol's not like a fucking doesn't have $50 million to tell
her.
No,
but she
like,
has the Kennedy name.
They
so
all
people
have
assume
certain
it.
Amount of money, yeah. And then they're on television, so people assume that they are worth a lot of money.
Well, if you hear that someone, and Tom started shtupping Sonia allegedly 10 years ago, okay, so he's thinking that Sonia Morgan is Sonia Morgan, the ex-wife of John Morgan. Like she's thinking that. He's thinking that she has legit money, which she didn't. She had legit property. She did not ever have legit cash during that divorce or after. And Carol agreed with that too. And she's like, yeah, Tom was with someone that had a fucking ton of money. Mm-hmm. That before that too. He definitely does seem like a little bit of a housewife hunter.
It's interesting.
It's not good.
I appreciate that Luann seem responsive to it.
In that moment,
yeah.
Right after when she like had no artifice over her and could only only be honest.
And I did think that it was interesting, like the reaction for the women that they were running to Bethany's. I know you talked about this earlier, but just like the fact that like three of them were in bed with Bethany while she was like how hard it was for her to tell them. I was like,
when
guys,
she was crying, I was
do a better job
mind.
Of being a friend to like Luann. Like even if you don't believe in that relationship, just be like, girl, are you okay?
I thought it was ridiculous. I thought Bethany's meltdown was actually ridiculous. The winner, I thought, maybe of this season overall, from like a turnaround perspective,
Sonya?
100%
I mean,
CJ.
I really thought
I
that she was
it.
On her
I
way out.
I don't want her to drink ever again.
I thought maybe she was on her way out of the show
so
in the
I.
middle because I just felt like she seemed so disillusioned.
Yeah. And desperate. And
like, I just felt like by the end, like, I mean, Sonya is super funny. And I think that, like, we talked about this with Siggy Flicker and other people. It's like, we need to have someone who's funny. And if they lose her, it's like, Ramona's funny in a different way. Like, Bethany's funny
Ramona's
in a different
manic.
Way.
Ramona's manic.
Yeah.
Lou is dry and sort of sometimes a little dour.
Like, they need...
Bethany is not...
You, I think, have said this before, that, like, Lou... That Sonya is the only one who has, like, a specific type of timing that is just, like, she's funny.
Yeah, she's actually funny. She's witty. So I think she has to come back. I think it's gonna be interesting. I think Sonya's gunning for Dorinda in the reunion. Obviously, Sonya's still pissed about the whole money thing. She's pissed that she lost them, which is something we spoke about with her ladyship Jill Zarin. That Sonya's pissed that she didn't get paid because Dorinda blocked her from going to the Berkshires, and she's brought and Sonya's brought that up in
social
media.
Will they talk about that like in honest terms at the reunion? Like, will they, because I feel like sometimes they still don't talk about production a lot in the reunion. Like some of reality shows, they talk more about like, you did this for the show, or you did this for the cameras or whatever contracts. But like a lot of shows won't talk about contracts.
I don't think they're not going to talk about contracts. I think Sonya's going to come for Dorinda. I think she's going to find a way and say she's a shitster or whatever. She's not being real. Or I guess she's a drug addict or something. I mean, if Dorinda says that Sonya has a drinking problem, Sonya has every right to be like, well, these are rumors that I've heard about you. I don't see there being anything wrong with that. And I sort of embrace Sonya not doing the delusional thing that she did with Heather Thompson, where she's like, I'm a big, you know, phenomenal, where Sonya was saying, like, I'm a big phenomenal businesswoman, and this is what my homeless intern in Ireland, you know, like, designed for me. I think this is an area where Sonya can actually be correct.
The Irish intern actually listened to our podcast.
I just realized that when I said it out loud.
So, I mean, we're grateful for all our listeners.
I forget her name, but thank you so much to the Irish intern who tweeted us.
I wish you could have seen my co-host, Sarah, realize that. That we know you've tweeted at us, and we appreciate you listening.
We do appreciate it.
So, the OC this week was Stephanie Kornick, who was our guest last week. She texted me and said that this is the calm before the storm, and I thought that was interesting because I watched it. It was a really an uplifting episode. I mean, obviously, all about Shannon and David's relationship.
Oh my god, was that not the sweetest
thing?
Well,
I'm nervous.
Are you not super attracted to him?
I am.
Oh my
he's like
god.
Young. He, to
his
me,
hair. Oh my god.
I like
god.
His weird bug eyes and like
yes!
his.
He's like sort of fake smooth. Like he's not really suave, but like if, I'm into
well,
him.
Here's what I'm worried about: the trailer shows the super trailer for
says
the season.
Her freaking out. At
there
him.
Was a fight, and I was
right.
just nervous.
I think it is with them.
It is. There's a fight between the two of them, and I'm just nervous because they seem like they're on such great terms right now, and like I don't know. I think there are lots of people that can get past cheating for sure, and I think it happens a lot more than we probably know because I think people keep it private. But like, they live that shit out on television, and I constantly am worried about them.
You're worried that he's going to cheat again? That will
not
never
that he's
happen.
Cheat again.
She will castrate him.
I'm just nervous that they're going to like that they'll never be okay because I don't know because it'll always be a memory that it happened. Like I think it's hard to forget that.
I know, but I feel like they're on different ground now. It's not about really forgetting it. It's just about making the choice to move on, right? And to try to become better as a result. To like,
yeah, but I think that,
sort
like,
of live lessons of like, why did this happen?
Yeah, but doesn't she say something? And I'm maybe misspeaking here, but in the trailer for the season, I thought it was something about him cheating, or I thought it was about the affair in the.
The
fight.
Original, right? Yeah, I don't know.
So I'd hope that, like, you know, I agree. Yeah, it is about probably moving on. But also if you can't, like, if that's,
well,
like,
if your co-stars are screaming at you, bringing it up every 5 seconds, I'm sure that's not helpful, right? Mm-hmm,
yeah,
it could be that Kelly or Vicky says something and
but
it triggers.
But Shannon stayed on the show, too, which is, like, I guess good for her, but also, like, man, I mean, I don't know how you get back on track after that.
Was that vow renewal not the sweetest thing? And he was kind of dopey about it and, like, nervous. And I was so – I, like, watched it twice. And the first time I was really emotional watching it because I just thought it was so sweet and so lovely, and like she was so shocked, and she just needed it. He knew that she needed this. She deserved this.
What did you, you know, what was interesting, I thought about what Brandi Glanville said in our interview with her, when she said that they pay for all of their own, like, parties.
And yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is, like, an elegant, like,
affair. He paid for a second wedding. I mean, yeah. That was literally a second wedding, but, like, again, she deserved it.
I mean, totally.
They are selling their, like, $16 million house. So I think she's
one of the richer housewives. I mean,
not Beverly Hills. She is, but they are downsizing.
Maybe I would say Beverly Hills is not included, but I actually think that at this point, I don't know how many of the Beverly Hills women are that rich.
Like, I mean, based on, like, you LVP, know. Kyle Richards has legit LVP money now. LVP and
Kyle Richards are very rich. Camille and Adrian Malouf are very rich, but they're not on the show anymore.
Right.
I think Taylor's not embarrassing, but I don't think she's, like, the richest.
Taylor Armstrong has no money.
Really?
Yeah, she had to do all the liability after her husband. He's just a lawyer. Being a lawyer doesn't mean you get a lot of money.
I
know that,
but I thought that he had money. No. I don't know what I thought he did.
No, no. They live in Colorado. Which is lovely. God bless. But, like, no.
I mean, Erica Jane obviously has money.
Erica Jane's husband has money. Erica Jane has access to her husband's money. Yes.
But beyond that, Eileen doesn't have, like, a crazy amount of money. Lisa Renner doesn't have a crazy amount of money.
No, they're both comfortable.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they both, like, work consistently, whatever. And then OC, we have...
I mean,
Tamara's okay. Tamara's a gym. She's fine. She's having sex with Eddie for, I guess, 45 seconds.
But nobody, like...
That's depressing. But
nobody besides... Shannon, I think, is the richest OC housewife.
No, Heather Dubrow.
Oh, right. I forgot about her.
With their $30 million...
Yeah, I mean, most of that is his. Most of that is his money.
I think, like, all of it is
She has a couple mil, I think.
She's maybe paying the taxes. I think that's shared, that they are in a real, actual partnership.
Is Vicky's...
Oh, yeah, Vicky has money, although she has said and stated that her business was hurt after the last season with the whole Brooks is perfectly fine and healthy and maybe had a head cold one day for about 45 minutes.
I mean, think that she should just, like, not be the face. Like, she needs to not be there. You know what I mean? Like
not
she,
be where?
Like, she needs to distance herself from her business because,
no,
like,
her business is her. It's like Trump. It's like you make a decision to brand your business as who you are. I mean, that was the cool thing about Bethany, is that Bethany is obviously the face sort of, and like, but the company is not really Bethany. It's more the idea of, you know, skinny girl and whatever, healthy living. But Vicky has done so well because she made a great decision to invest in the show that somehow it would, you know, circle back to her business, and it really paid off for her for many years. She was doing exceptionally well in business because she was able to show this side of herself as, like, a successful businesswoman. And now it's like, wait, you sell health insurance and life insurance, and you maybe were participating in a cancer plot. I mean, it's not so much that she's an asshole. It's like she might actually be a criminal a little bit.
I just had a thought, an epiphany. I think that Vicky's going to have a turnaround before the end of the season.
100% no. And here's why. She has some sort of turnaround with Tamara. So half right. She does have a turnaround with Tamara, and I don't think Shannon, but yeah, with Tamara, yes. And then there's some sort of shit that happens where Tamara has said, and I believe her, and Vicky has said, and I believe they will never be friends again. And Tamara says it's because something that Vicky does is terrible.
They go from being where they are now to being close.
And then something happens that cuts it forever.
But isn't it possible that it's something that also, like, Tamara is, like...
Oh, totally, but I just happen to believe...
I just hope that Vicky, like, I mean, I would like to see her, I don't know, be the better version of her. Because I feel like she's in a really sad place right now.
But that is, I think, Vicky, right? Like, I think that's it. Well, she gets into this relationship with that guy that threw someone into the fire. He's like,
when?
She's dating a former cop or sheriff or something.
He threw someone into a fire recently?
Not, like, recently, but, like, they have records of him.
Here's the thing.
You can't throw someone into a fire.
Hold on. Can I speak this? Yeah. Because you do this a lot with, like, Radar Online or, like, the Daily Mail, like, things. When people are on reality shows, they will find everything out.
Yeah.
So, like, and, like, nobody's, like, I and I, like, they just do that. So, like, and if it could be your first cousin, and they will just be like, your first cousin punched somebody in an Irish pub, like, in 1996.
I know, but if you throw someone into a fire.
I know, but we don't know anything about it beyond that.
And
he was a cop,
and there were several instances of, like, excessive force, which is very on trend. These
things are painted to be vilifying to reality.
Sure. And he might also, it might just be that when you try in normal life, you can try to be a great guy, like a knight in shining armor, and you don't have tabloid magazines that are gunning to find out. So it might just be that he's a shitty person. He made a bad investment in aligning with someone who is on a reality show who has tabloid magazines tracking everything she does because they have a vested interest in making sure that she hopefully does end up with a shitty guy because that sells like clicks on their website. Sad.
Or whatever. Reality TV is so sad.
I know, it's super sad. things that are also super depressing. Kelly Dodd is a sociopath. And the best part of last night, aside from Shannon and David's Forever Ever After, I Do, was that scene with Megan King Edmonds, who, by the way, is like the sneak attack phenomenal human person. She was like this with Brooke. She was like this last night. Who just very calmly is like, I don't believe your bullshit. Like, Megan King Edmonds sat Kelly Dodd down and was like, I was embarrassed to be with you. You were acting like a sociopath. You need to understand that if you're upset about something because you have a child, all of the other women in the room, number one, also have children. And number two, your child's going to be embarrassed by your behavior and you have to be held accountable for it. And I thought that was really phenomenal. And Kelly Dodd responding back, that you just don't understand because you don't have kids, is so shitty in so many different ways and reminded me exactly of that moment that Brandi Glanville had a conversation with Yolanda Hadid, then Yolanda Foster, on Beverly Hills a couple seasons ago, where Yolanda was saying to Brandi, it's unacceptable for you to smack LVP and it's because you're drinking too much, and Brandi's like, well, your daughter had a DUI, like, trying to compare apples and oranges when it's like, well, you're trying to shift focus of your unacceptable behavior, and it's not about the fact that Megan doesn't have biological children because she's a stepmother and that is a parental role. And I thought it was really obnoxious
to not just say,
I need to become a better person, and then to have that language and that dialogue used at a dinner at Fig and Olive with Vicky Gumbelson, who is nobody's role model. Not a single person.
Also, let's just like think about that, like, Kelly Dodd, the production got to her, and she realized her daughter would hear things about her and her marriage to her daughter's father. So, like, she was just reacting to that. And I'm not saying that, like, it was an excuse for her behavior, but, like, she's allowed to have that reaction. And, like, she's right in that, like, Megan doesn't have a child who's, like, ever said that she's, like, I've been a fucking cocksucker to have that life that
Megan
she has.
Is an lecherous human being. Kelly has to be responsible for her behavior. Kelly says over and over again on the show how unhappily married she is to her husband. Her daughter is going to hear that. What's going to be more upsetting to her daughter? Hearing that her mother hates
her father?
But she's
never said that.
She did on last night's episode.
She said she illuminated the fact that it is a complicated relationship.
Okay, you're giving her a lot of credit.
I'm just treating her like a human person because
she doesn't do that to anybody else. You're giving Kelly more grace and humanity than she has assigned to any other person outside of the OG of OC.
I think that she just is a person who is not particularly well and who, when they drink, she is volatile. But I think she is entitled to have a reaction, and I don't think that, like, I think that that is something. When people are on reality TV and they get to them, it's like when Dorinda broke down at that event last year when she was wasted and Heather Thompson was like, you're not even making any sense. And it was like, well, she was like, I can't do it anymore. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Dorinda, it was like a dinner. It was on their vacation. Where did they go last year?
And when they were in.
Dorinda was like, I can't do it anymore. She was slurring. And Heather, in a very Bethany Frankel sort of way, was like, I don't know what you're saying, Dorinda.
Right, right.
And it was really patronizing. Right. And Dorinda was like, get me out of here. I was like, taking her mic off.
Yeah.
That was Kelly Dodd's moment. And like, for me, that's, and I don't know about you, but like, for me, that's why I watch these shows. Like, I don't watch these shows because I think these are real people. I watch these shows because it's like watching. It's like you're putting people in a social experiment and you're seeing how they react. And, like, that was Kelly's, like, for me, that was the most humanizing thing I've seen of her because she was reacting to the fact that this is going to be on television. So, yes, she does need to be held accountable for her behavior. But also, like, she was realizing that, like, these are things that happen and that people will say these things and then.
But she won't hold herself accountable. She really won't. She does these flippant I'm sorry's, but with several strings attached.
Did you read her blog this week? You read everybody's blog. Did you read hers? She did. I mean, she did. She said
awkward pause.
She said that she was apologetic to
Yeah, she's always apologetic. But in like, the sense that until the next thing happens. Kelly Dodd is a shitty person, and it's not enough to be broken. It's genuinely not enough at this point to just say, like, I'm a broken person and that's it. Like, at a certain point, it's like, well, then why isn't the goal of life over time to become better
I think that these
are... Is that all, just me? Am I the only one reading those fortune cookies?
I think, like, I can recognize, like, who Bethany as a fully formed human being... And that, like, she's not a villain. And I don't think Kelly Dodd's a villain. I think that she's a person, a real person who signed up for a show. And it's being, you know, and is being put in situations where she reacts a certain way. And I'm not saying that she's right. I'm 100% not saying that. I'm just saying, like, for me, the moment where she realized her daughter would see this stuff was humanizing. And I think there is something to be said for the fact that, like, Megan doesn't have a kid who's watching this show right now. And Megan also could spend her whole first season on this show investigating Vicky's boyfriend because she didn't like, you know what I mean? Like, her priorities are different. They will be different when she has a child.
Guys, I am now not listening to Damien. I'm reading Kelly Dodd's book. And I have to say, she's the devil. I think she's a horrible human being and I am concerned for her daughter. But there is one great line. So she's like apologizing to everyone for acting like a raving lunatic. So kudos to her. It's the first time I haven't read a blog and Damien apparently brought receipts. but wait. So she goes, losing my temper at the dinner party for Megan was almost completely inexcusable. I acted like a raving lunatic. I admit I was wrong in many ways. I was embarrassed by my hysterical rants. I embarrassed my family and everyone involved. I want to apologize again here to Shannon and Tamara for the horrible names I called them. Of course, they were in no way true or deserved. I also want to apologize to Megan for ruining her special night. Clearly, I offended Heather's delicate sensibilities, so I apologize to her for that, too.
I think it's funny.
Which I thought was funny. Very sad.
Because she said nothing to Heather, but Heather was the one who...
That's what I'm saying. Delicate sensibilities, I think, is actually genuinely funny. Listen, I'm never going to like Kelly. It's not going to happen.
I'm not asking you to like her for sure.
And I'm not going
to
respect her, and I can understand.
But you said nothing makes you angry than disrespect earlier.
Which is why I hate her so much. Me hating her isn't disrespectful. It's just honest and real. It's true. I think Kelly needs more people in life, ideally someone with, like, you know, access to a prescription pad and a PhD, who are sitting her down and saying, like, your behavior needs to be corrected. If you have any interest, listen, she might be totally okay with her behavior, and going by your favorite Raider Online articles that have been written about her, the number of criminal complaints against her for harassment, her brother being a complete psychopath, I'm sure her parents are fucked as well. Like, it's not out of character for her, from her family lineage, to be like a complete douchebag. So maybe this is just her role in life, is to like behave this way. She married well or terribly, depending on if you care about your, you know, debit card or heart, and has a child who she by all accounts loves. Okay, so that's one thing. She has a child that she loves. And maybe she's just on this path where she's just going to be a shitty person forever, and, like, that's her goal in life. I don't know. Actually, I do know people that are like that, and I don't like them, because I think it's crazy to behave poorly and not want to learn from those lessons. But maybe that's just her thing, and she's going to get paid from being on this reality show, and $100 says of someone else's money, set of, you know, of Michael Dodd's money, says that she's going to be divorced in a season. 100%. 100%. She's down the Jules track where she joined the show to try to get an out, and this is her way. She doesn't have her own shit going on. I mean, it's possible. I just think it's super depressing. As we drink Skinny Girl. Cheers to healthy relationships, guys.
I can't wait till Kelly Dodd has a line of wines and we're drinking it.
Yeah, it's going to be water. And someone told her it was vodka, and she just believes.
What do you have to say about New Jersey this week?
Well, so I had actually a question that I wrote down for you that I wanted to ask you.
Is it about Italians?
I'm just, some of my other notes to myself. I want to have sex with David Bador. I just wrote that down. Okay, here's my question. What's worse? David yelling at Vicky in OC or Jacqueline calling Joe Gorga? Because I feel like both...
Say it again?
What's worse? David in OC yelling at Vicky Gumbelson at the
70s party. I thought he was inappropriate.
Or Jacqueline not calling Melissa Gorga, but calling straight to the source Joe Gorga. Oh, or did you think that was not inappropriate at all?
I didn't think it was inappropriate. I think that I understand why, from like a show perspective, why it has to be played like that, like why Melissa has to be mad about that. But like, Jacqueline and Teresa have a friendship, a history, and like, and so does, and therefore relationship with Joe and Jacqueline do. And it was something that Joe said to Jacqueline. So like, to involve
something that Joe said to Teresa that Jacqueline wanted to fact check. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're right.
No,
you're
it
right.
was Joe told Jacqueline that Melissa, that Teresa wasn't her. Yes,
Joe told Teresa not to trust anyone. Teresa, in her crazy ears, heard that
it was
as
two things. It was Joe told. My understanding was that Joe told Jacqueline not to, that like they weren't each other's friends, basically. Like he told Teresa not to trust anybody, and he told Jacqueline that Teresa wasn't his friend, her friend.
I don't remember the second part.
I thought it was basically like they both, she was like, your brother, like she was like, my brother told me not to trust anybody. And Jacqueline was like, your brother told me not that we weren't real friends. So that like, then she called Joe out on that to say like, what did you say?
What Teresa said was, Joe, my brother, told me not to trust you. Jacqueline goes, that's bullshit, calls Joe Gorga, and Joe Gorga says, no, what I actually said was don't trust anybody.
But I don't think...
I could understand why Melissa would be pissed, honestly, because Melissa's hearing it from Teresa and sure, maybe from
yeah.
Joe.
I mean,
so she would be like, why the fuck are you like getting involved? I get it, but I also think that Joe Gorga, it's not like Joe Giudice, Giudice, Giudice. Joe Gorga is like friends with these women. Like,
also,
like, he grew up
he grew up with like Jacqueline. Like,
no, he didn't grow up with Jacqueline.
I mean, meaning that like the Teresa was
on TV.
Teresa was friend with Jacqueline for whatever, like 10 years. Like he knew who she was.
Oh yeah, yeah. yeah. They didn't grow up. They weren't like childhood friends.
No,
yeah,
I just
yeah,
mean
yeah.
like
she,
his older
time.
Sister
yeah, yeah,
was
yeah.
friends with Jacqueline for
right. So there's like a
he
level
who
of
she,
intimacy there,
yeah,
right? Where it's
yeah.
not just like somebody's husband.
It's not like
the David Bedore thing.
It's not like Vicky calling David in a fight with
right.
Shannon to like just to push buttons.
Whose side are you on with this whole Jack Tree thing? It's going to go on forever.
I'm not ever on Teresa's side. And I think that she's, I feel like, I mean, as you can see, and as our listeners can hear, like, I'm pretty good at playing devil's advocate. I'd say it's one of my strengths. And so I feel like I can even play devil's advocate to Kelly Dodd.
Well, you certainly want to.
I try. I mean, because I really try to believe that everybody is human and that everybody's, like, doing
Broken.
The best that they can.
Yeah.
I feel like, I do think that Teresa is doing the best that she can. I don't think Teresa is bright. And I think that that really hard, like, hurts every argument she tries to make because I don't think she's self-aware and I don't think she's bright. And I take Jacqueline's side in this, even though I don't think Jacqueline is invested in the friendship.
Yeah.
So I think she's just trying to like keep her time on the show.
Right.
But I do think that Jacqueline, like the things that they did are not comparable, and it's shitty for Teresa to bring up like Jacqueline's bankruptcy to say that
Jacqueline's
that's
husband's corporate bankruptcy. Yeah.
Yeah. Because like, bankruptcy is a thing that's different and it's like a difficult thing for people to do. And that's separate for corporate or personal
from fraud.
And that's different from fraud.
Right.
So, like, that to me is, like, insulting. But I also, again, don't think that Jacqueline is really invested in maintaining or building a friendship with Teresa.
I think that Teresa's dumb, but I think she's also super manipulative, which we've seen. Like, she definitely has a little evil streak to her.
Yeah, but
it's
I don't
just,
know.
Like,
but
it's not
I don't,
rooted in being dumb. I
it's
mean,
rooted
I think
in
she's
being
super
Italian.
Jealous.
She's rooted in... Rooted
she's
in,
super... She's a very jealous personality.
As an Italian, I can say that, like, it's a lot of, like, guilt. It's a lot of, like... She would never say it's manipulation, but, like, yeah, it's a lot of, like... Teresa believes in like that blood loyalty, and she just and I think we talked about this last week with Stephanie, but like she believes that Jacqueline shouldn't question anything, and if Jacqueline wants to rebuild a friendship, like it's based on like what I tell you is what I tell you, and like everything else is like off the table, and we're and you are loyal to me forever if I ever 100%. Come to you, and I think that like that's not the way adult relationships, healthy ones, work. Though not to, you know, if it's working for them, I guess, you know.
You know who I'm obsessed with, and it's not just because she's a Hebrew?
Siggy. Yeah, you know.
I don't think she makes any sense on the show. I think she's too good for Jersey. I'm sort of done with Jersey. It's not giving me anything. I know it's going to get better, and they're going to fight, but, like.
I'm sad because I thought that, like, the.
She's a wasted opportunity.
The last season with Amber and the twins was, and Dina was, like, so, so bad. Like, I really.
So
like,
bad.
Like, if we were doing this podcast at that point, I would have been like, hey, let's just, like, not do
right.
it anymore.
Like, worse
until
than
the
Dallas.
Next franchise comes
yeah.
back.
And this was so well cast this season, I feel like. I feel like Dolores,
well, I mean, Dolores
isn't
feels
giving us anything, but I'm really I, like, appreciate her. I respect her. I don't know her, but I like.
I think she's
I'm into
boring,
her. I'm into her
but
family.
I like that she's organically connected to the women. Like that feels good. Like I think they did a good job of finding women that were connected in an organic way,
yes.
more so than the twins and Amber and Dina. But like, it still feels. It's just boring. Like we previously talked about people and the downfall of like a certain housewife each season.
Yeah,
I need it to not. The focus needs
it's like
to
the
not,
downfall of the viewer this
the,
season.
The plot point or the A story for every Jersey season can't be Teresa. And without Caroline,
There is no one else.
Like, nobody.
Jacqueline's not strong enough.
Because, I mean, who? Danielle Staub, I guess, was the other. It was, like, Danielle, Caroline, and Teresa were the three strongest personalities. Yeah. I mean, Dina is boring to me, and Jacqueline's boring to me. Kathy I liked a lot, and I like Rosie a lot, but they're boring. Like, they're fun, but they're not good to be, like, the
and
core.
And Teresa will not refute. It's like, she bristles at the idea of them being
I think that Teresa, like, thinks that she's Lisa Vanderpump and Bethany and Nene, and that she can manipulate production, but she's not smart enough to do it. And she's not funny enough. Like, she doesn't have any of the strength that those other three women do.
And the sad thing is, the focus on her isn't because she's, like, a great part of the show. It's because she's a felon.
But I think, and this is why I don't like Teresa, and why she's one person I have a really hard time, like, empathizing with, is that she has zero awareness of that. She thinks 100%. She's the star. 100%. She has no idea. She has no idea that the production loves her because she gives them so much, because she mispronounces words constantly and she says the wrong things, and because her family fat shames each other and they talk about it openly, like, because Gabriella clearly doesn't want to be part of the family because Gia is ready to move out and go to college. Like, she doesn't realize that those subtleties are, like, what make her the ideal housewife. And I think we've talked about this before with, like, Brian Moylan, because he sort of ranked her as, like, his number one housewife. And I said, like, I agreed with him, though I think that she's my least favorite and the most despicable, that she is compelling because she's so flawed and she's so open with her flaws. But, like, that's because...
Against her awareness.
But that's because she's not aware of them. And so, like, that's what's so... She's such a, like, a divisive character for me because I don't like her. I agree that she's compelling, but I'm sick of, like, the stories always revolving around her. Like, they need, and she needs to bring a friend on who, like, let Kim G or Kim D be part of the cast. Bring your cousin Kathy on and hash that stuff out on TV. But, like, we need something else besides, like, her denying that she did do my time at camp. But she says camp to negate the fact that she went to prison to serve time for...
Or she thinks, I'm aware of what I did, that what I did was wrong because I went to camp and that's it. She won't have any other conversation. She's like, I served my time, and a part of that sentence wasn't me coming on TV and telling you what I did was
exactly.
wrong. She won't
on
do
all
it.
All of the things that she talks about her time at camp, again, with the word that she chooses to always use, which I appreciated that that Jacqueline called her out on that, but all the things that Teresa talked about with prison are doing yoga and getting to be zen, which is, like, her buzzword, and also the, like, there was a lot of lesbian sex and it smelled like fish, which is really
that
insulting
was her
to women
to be fun,
but it's not funny. It's base level and not smart and really insulting to, like, gay people.
What did you think about the family meeting? I was so sad by it.
The fat
Melania.
Shaming meeting. I mean, I thought that,
like,
that whole...
And then Joe's face. Joe, for some reason, maybe because I know it's he's going to the clink or something, but I sort of feel for him a little bit, and his, like, face and scenes with Melania, like, at her birthday and stuff, where you could see he loves his daughter, and she's 100% his favorite. She is 1,000% his favorite.
I did love the scene where they went, like, fake skydiving.
Oh, I would do that tomorrow, by the way.
I thought it was so cute and so sweet and, like, real. But, you know, like, Joe had the weird goggle marks on his face the whole scene.
He totally did.
But
That moment got to
me. But the family meeting where they were, like, where Gabriella didn't want to participate, and, like, Gia basically said, like, Teresa needs to change her personality. Mm-hmm. And Melania talked about, like, how Joe fat shames them and then how he's fat.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's exactly what's wrong with Jersey and why it feels like the saddest of all the franchises, is because it is that, like, that moment I feel like is played for humor and the fans, or the viewers rather, like, love that, or they talk about it, but, like, it's that's
sad.
There's
that's
no
depressing.
Awareness there. Like, that's not, like, that's not Sonia and Joe and Ramona being drunk and being goofy. And,
no,
like,
that is an 11-year-old, like, crying out for help.
It's just, I mean,
or, like,
it's
respect.
It's also
or
just like the family.
Something.
Like, it's also just, like, speaks to their family dynamics, which are a little bit, like, fucked up. Or in
my
opinion,
I don't think they have a family dynamic. I think those kids own the house. Tree just wants to be, like, a supportive wife in whatever way, and maybe, you know, a part-time criminal. And Joe's just there. He's just there, trucking along. I mean, they don't really have, like, a cohesive family unit. They have a very, very old-school marriage, for better or worse, mostly worse. And that's where we are. And those kids are going to go away to trade school, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
I will say, I mean, Gabriella is going to go to college. She's going to go to Stanford and never talk to them again. I can't wait to read
hopefully
her book in 20 years.
She gets a full scholarship because mom and dad have not put away a single penny.
No, for sure they have not.
They should be downsizing and trying to sell that fucking monstrosity of a house that is, like, the worst investment idea of all time. And downsize to whatever and get those kids away from them.
I think Teresa was on Watch What Happens Live recently and someone asked her, like, how she was able to keep her house. And she was like, she was like, I wrote the book and I'm back on the show and I'm working. And I was there's still shady things going on with you guys. Like,
How
also did she not find like a publicist who's able to help her have better answers to the questions about her?
Can you imagine what poor publicist is like helping her and gives her good answers? She just fucking forgets.
I don't want to say that.
Though. I don't want to do it. I'm gonna be great. I have a New York Times bestsellers.
As we're wrapping up, I wanted to say that I think Jersey sucks so far, and I really don't want to talk about it anymore. On this podcast.
Like, guys, it's our series finale.
So I'm excited that New York is coming to an end, so I think we're going to go on a break when it's only Jersey left because we're both going to be tired. But
that is not happening,
but
guys.
But next week.
OC continues.
The Jersey Housewives go on a trip together or like a whatever. I'm excited
they go
for the
10 minutes away
I'm
from
excited
their
houses. For the five women or whatever, five or six women to finally be all together at yes. once. Like I need, like you said, I need Siggy and Dolores, but specifically Siggy to like be part of the dynamic. Like I need to see how Siggy diffuses or doesn't diffuse like the drama between Jacqueline and Teresa or like Teresa and Melissa. Like I need to see how those other the new women play into the group dynamic, because like that's why I watch these shows, is to see like the way the people interact as a group.
100%.
And so I think that like Jersey has done a big job of like segregating people or like doing like pairs, and like I need to see the five of them in a room together and see like what is the rapport and is their chemistry, because I think Siggy has great and Dolores have great chemistry and they have good chemistry with Jacqueline, but like how do they figure into Teresa and Melissa.
I am obsessed with Siggy's confessionals. I love what she wears. I love how sassy she is. I love her, like, Hebrew essence, which they bring up. They have, like, fucking...
I mean, I was into her parents being on
Hebrew
the...
Hebrew music
Shabbat
in the background,
this...
and I was like, I know I should know what that's called, but I forget.
I was into the Shabbat dinner and all of that.
Oh, my God, where she was talking about being a super Jew over and over again times a million. I was, like, super into it. Oh, my God. What an episode.
This is our first week we've had just you and me, and it felt good. I feel like we needed to have one, just me and you.
I know, and it was so good. And now we have like a couple housewives coming up. We have some exciting conversations.
Things in the oven.
Things in the oven. Do they have ovens at camp? Probably not.
At Camp Zarin, probably.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We will see you here soon.
Yay! Bye, guys. See you next week.
Bye.